Amen. Okay. Is there more to be said?
I looked up the verse game came to me was Second Thessalonians.
Connie, we need more volume.
The verse that came to me about what we need to be vigilant about is in Second Thessalonians 2 in verse 8 through 12. I'll just read it. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So there's a part of us that what is that expression called? Itchy tickling ears kind of thing, the feel good stuff that we just really need to be very, very vigilant in this time because it is not going to get easier. It's going to get worse. And the other thing was when speaking about out of the body was the book Return from Tomorrow by Ritchie. Was a really very good eye opener for me about what the Lord showed him. And
Yes,
since I've been.
I believe that man's experience. I believe it. Everything in there lines up with what I know of the Word of God.
Yes, amen. So,
The man is dead now. He's gone into the heavenly kingdom.
that was just the two things that I had.
I have a couple of things to comment on. Mark asked the question, what was the tabernacle of David? And the word tabernacle means a dwelling place. Okay. So the question is really, where did David dwell? And David dwelt in the spirit, in the broader sense. I'm going to narrow it down in just a second, though. David dwelt in the spirit. I mean, he was constantly talking to the Lord and doing the right thing. And, you know, God didn't call him the apple of his eye for no reason, you know. But there's one specific thing when somebody asks me, what's the tabernacle of David? I have one word to say, but first I'm going to read you a scripture. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. David's tabernacle was praise. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And praise, you know, Saul would be bothered by an unclean spirit, and he'd call David in to play his harp, and it would chase that spirit away. Praise is a weapon that the devil and his host cannot stand it when you praise God. It's like nails on a chalkboard to them. So David's specialty was praise. And we heard a lot about that today. And I also wanted to comment on circumcision. We talked about circumcision, and Paul said, circumcision availeth nothing, neither does uncircumcision. In other words, if you're circumcised, you're not a better Christian. And if you're not circumcised, you're not a worse Christian. It has no effect, because it was just an example to show you something in the spirit. And what it's showing you is you must cut away the flesh. Our three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, you know, basically, we're just the highest form of an animal. We need to cut away the flesh. This flesh has wants and needs and desires that we need to, you know, rule over. We have to rule over our flesh. We have to subdue and put down our flesh. And so the reason I'm saying this is there's so many things in the Bible like this that people get all hung up on circumcision. Should you be circumcised or not? When really, we just need to see it in the spirit for what it means. That's what we need to do, is build our spirit man up so we see through these natural things and get what God is wanting to show us, which was circumcision. It was just, you got to cut away the flesh. And then lastly, I feel like I had a little revelation this morning. When Mark said, you know, the jail keeper pulled out his sword to kill himself because the prisoners, he figured it all gotten away, you know, and Mark said, well, why did he do that? And he said, because he knew it meant death. And all of a sudden I thought to myself, why is the devil trying so hard to keep you bound up? It's because he knows to let the prisoners go free means he's going to get destroyed. Amen.
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 The reference to the tabernacle of David is there. It's in 2 Samuel 6:17.
Read it to us, Larry.
And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So there's a direct reference to what's being called the tabernacle of David.
Amen. Just have to make a contribution, not a comment, but say, Jesus, in the commencement of his ministry, was sending disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. And in his conversation with the woman of Samaria, the well, he told her that salvation is of the Jews. This statement is mostly misunderstood by believers, because the Jews themselves, the Gentiles, also became recipients of salvation. But that statement that Jesus made didn't read salvation is for the Jews. He said salvation is of the Jews. So what he meant was that salvation will proceed, will come forth out of the Jews. And he was a Jew, and he preached to his tribesmen first. And from there, it spread forth to the whole world. And that was the true meaning of that word, salvation is of the Jews. Praise God.
Yes, the whole history of the revelation, the tabernacle, Moses, it all, God shows out a particular people way back in the days of Abraham to reveal Christ through those people. Yes. And as such, Brother Opie, yes, Jesus came through that genealogy, the Jewish genealogy, the plan of salvation was brought through that. And then, you know, the need for the sacrifice, the need for the blood, the need for the Lamb of God, and then Jesus being that Lamb of God. Yes, so salvation came through that, through the Jews, and that revelation that was given to them.
I just had another little revelation. When Larry read that description, and it said they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the place that David had prepared for it. Remember now, the word ark means a container. So, and the word covenant is a promise. So the container that contained the promise, and that promise was, I will walk in you and I will talk in you. The container that contains the promise was brought to put in the place that David had prepared for it. Did you know that's what God's doing with us? He's preparing this place in us for him to come dwell in. The Ark of the Covenant, the container that contains that promise. I'm going to dwell in you guys. I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to talk in you. That's what this whole thing is all about.
And by definition, we are the tabernacle of God.
Amen. That's what it's all about. Yeah, it's not what a great guy God's going to make Larry. What a great guy God's going to make me. What a great guy, you know, God is going to make Mike. It's what a great tabernacle God is going to manifest himself to the world. What a great bunch of tabernacles, I could say. Sons of God.
There's just one thing I wanted to say, Mark, was in where you started off in Acts chapter 13. It said this Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to do. He never said to take John Mark, you know, and that, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was Barnabas or whoever encouraged him to go, that was not in the plan of God to begin with. And the lesson there is, you know, unless you're called of the Spirit of God to go forth on the mission field, because it's, well, some of you know, it's hard work out there and can be dangerous. And in the days ahead, it's going to be more dangerous. And, you know, you have to have the word of the Lord before you go forth thinking you're going to do some mighty work, because it has to be God's oil and anointing upon you before you go forth.
Yeah, Larry, there are those who try to go in their own calling and they are not sent. Now, being sent does not mean that some organization, some bishop or superintendent or something said, well, we need to have some mission work over here in India. That's not necessarily being sent. That's being sent by man, but not being sent by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And if you're sent by the Holy Spirit, you can expect it will prosper. And this is why they must have been through quite a conflict there in that prison, having been beaten and everything else. They had to know, they had to go back and know, yes, we truly were sent. I mean, the whole church, the other elders, the other ministry, they prayed, they fasted. Yes, we can depend that they had the word of God. They had the word of the Holy Spirit. We're here because God sent us here. Let us praise the Lord.
And know that God works all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes.